Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here. We are with Mr. Andy Janning from No Net Solutions. How's it going, Andy?
It was going well today, sir. It's good to see your smiling face today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And good to see you as well. I'm sorry to interrupt you in the middle of your swig there.
No, I'm good. No, this is, I'm just getting my caffeine on here in the middle part of the afternoon. So we're good.
Excellent. Well, the reason why I'm having you on, besides you're just an all around good, darn fine person, darn fine human being, I call you. I was recently at a conference, CU Water Cooler Conference, and you did a great presentation as always, but this one was called Burnout, Admit It, Spot It, Defeat It. And it just kind of struck a chord with me because I think a lot of people are in that position right now today, kind of in burnout mode. They're on this treadmill to nowhere and they're working and it just, and your presentation just really hit a home run for me. And that's why I want to have you on besides being, again, an all around fine person. So can you give us a quick 411 on your presentation and then we'll dive in a little bit deeper.
Yeah, it was really just talking about, first of all, the burnout, especially when it comes to corporate America, it's like this, we treat it kind of like Fight Club, that we don't want to talk about it. It's not something that we really want to speak about necessarily. And this is something that the research has borne out. It's something that, you know, you can talk about struggling with weight or struggling with, you know, wanting to eat better or even quitting smoking. Mm-hmm. But when people start getting into areas of things that touch on what's under the very broad umbrella of mental health, like burnout, that's when the stigma starts to get stuck onto it. The Society of Human Resource Management, which is the largest HR trade association in the world, recently did some studies about what are the things that are big wellness concerns for corporations and for people. The single biggest one was obviously, you know, obesity and weight, but behind it, literally one percentage point behind physical weight was mental health issues.
Really?
And it was something that, I mean, again, it's something that pervades everything, but yet it's not something that we've really given a lot of voice to. So the talk that I did was letting people know, okay, kind of talking about that here's the mentality, but then also talk about, okay, this can also be the silent killer, not just of productivity, but of motivation. It can be the silent killer of, you know, of having the family life that we're supposedly doing our jobs for.
Yeah.
It also really kills that motivation to stay physically healthy, to stay mentally healthy, to stay in community with people. So this really came from a very sincere place. This isn't something that's, you know, specific to just one industry. Basically, if you still have a pulse, you still need to hear this. And I didn't share it because I'm really good at it. I shared it because I'm, you know, I'm kind of starting to preaching to myself first. I'm the chief among sinners on this one. I just know exactly where I'm going to stray. Mm-hmm. And if I can share that message with other people and build that community that it's okay to share where we are, but also share our successes, then we're going to have a breakthrough, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Have you experienced this? I mean, because you're working for yourself. You have your company, No Net Solutions, and you're on the road a lot, speaking a lot, helping clients and training, all that type of stuff. Have you gone down this road? I mean, is it a personal thing for you as well?
It is. This is a personal subject for me. And I think when we talk about burnout, I think the nature of the conversation, we need to change it a little bit. Because when we talk about burnout, when I say burnout, for me, can mean something different for you or for someone else.
Yeah.
And rather than talk about, hey, I'm feeling really burned out, it's important for me to talk about the component parts of burnout.
Mm-hmm.
There are essentially three of them.
Okay.
So when you talk about struggling with them, I think everybody that's going to be listening to this is going to be focusing on this issue in some way, shape, or form. The first dimension of burnout is something called depersonalization, which is a fancy, you know, triple word score that you can use in Scrabble. All it basically is that we stop seeing people as people.
Okay.
When the burnout cycle kind of has is this element that I stop seeing Mike or me or my wife or my children or my clients as people with real needs, with things that I want to serve them with. I instead start seeing them essentially as like these inconvenient lumps of flesh that are just getting in the way of my goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I start treating them accordingly.
Okay.
The second element is what's called emotional exhaustion. And as the name implies, you don't have the mental energy or even the physical energy to even get excited about your job anymore. To want to keep doing what you're doing, to serve your members or customers or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
That energy is just not there anymore. You can't fake it till you make it. And if someone gives you another success series poster type motivational quote, you're going to either burn it up or punch them in the face. One of the two. The third and probably the most striking element of burnout is this, what's called this lack of personal achievement. This lack of feeling that the work that you do matters. Mm-hmm. That feeling that, you know, if I wasn't doing this work anymore, no one would really notice. No one would care if I was even here. And there's a number of reasons why, and this message is kind of shot through some real tentpole messages in popular culture, but this is the one that really gets to people. This is why a lot of people, I think, quit jobs.
Yeah.
We've heard the old saw that, you know, people don't quit corporations, they quit managers. Well, that's partly true. They quit managers that don't tell their employees the effect that the employees' behavior had on the organization. Mm-hmm. So when we stop feeling that, when we stop feeling that connectedness and that sense of, hey, I've made a difference in the world, that's where the burnout, that's where that whole burnout element, mm-hmm. that compound, if you will, really starts to fire up and really starts to take over a lot of someone's life. Mm-hmm.
So what's the solution, because that's you can go down the psychobabble road big time,
right,
on that, but
right,
what are some things that you did to kind of defeat it, I guess, or to kind of keep it at bay?
Well, a couple things. Again, if you look at it in terms of those three elements there and seeing how am I doing in each one of them, I think that helps break burnout from this massive, big, this featureless monster down to baking it down into its component parts that mm-hmm. you can deal with mm-hmm. Discreetly. The second thing you can do, though, and this is something that I think kind of separates the pros from the Joes here, is having people hold you accountable. Having people measure you and having them talk to you and having them give you some really good feedback about how you're doing in each one of those areas. So you have to be in community. You have to be in with people. Yeah. And they don't have to be at the same level you are. It can be, a hierarchy if you want to. But it's a sense that you can't do this alone. And if you try to, you're just going to keep staying on that same treadmill. Treadmills are great, but races are run in community.
Right.
We run marathons with other people around us. You don't have professional treadmill competitions. you may have them, but they're really not fun, and no one's ever going to tune into them.
Right.
We get excited when we see people interacting with, moving through, and succeeding in mm-hmm. cooperation, mm-hmm. in community. So I've really had to it's an exercise in humility. As someone that started my own company that, essentially, I don't like to say I work for myself, because for all of my clients, they're my bosses.
Right.
They're the people I have to be accountable
right.
to. But at the end of the day, I mean, I'm the only guy in the office here. So I have to have people that I've asked into my life to hold me accountable, to speak into my life. And the other element of burnout, too, and dealing with each of the components, is that if I'm just focused just on me, if I'm just focusing on, oh, how am I doing, I've missed the point. The best way for me to help myself is to help someone else deal with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
mm-hmm.
I have to find a way to make myself available to be in community and to mentor people and to help celebrate their successes. When I do that, it helps keep my successes and struggles in the proper perspective.
Indeed. Now, this site is all about health and how mm-hmm. health can benefit your career.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's a passion of mine, and mm-hmm. I've been doing it my entire life because I have to. There is massive heart disease in my family, and so I have to exercise
right.
to stay alive, basically, especially mm-hmm. as I get older. But it also has transferred into my career and helping me be successful, and transfers over to my personal life, where I can be a good dad, a great husband,
right.
all that type of stuff. Health is so huge, and
yeah.
how big is it in your life? How does it play a part in your success?
Well, and kind of the same thing that you have. Cancer runs through my family, cancer, diabetes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you take, whatever top 10 WebMD list of the worst possible things, and you'll find them somewhere in my woodpile. And I'm sure most people can probably say that.
Yeah.
I have three also really strong reasons as to why I need to stay healthy. They're my wife and my daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I can't expect them to live a healthy lifestyle if I'm not doing it myself.
Right.
And so, I mean, Alzheimer's also runs in my family as well. And what they're finding, some of the most recent medical research has said that some of the most powerful interventions in either stopping or even reversing the memory loss associated with Alzheimer's
mm-hmm.
just comes from, wait for it, diet and exercise and proper sleep. So, I mean, if there's pharmacological interventions that are certainly appropriate in certain situations.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the end of all of it, though, if I'm not respecting myself, not just, you know, like, I'm not saying my body's a temple. I don't want to do that. My body is my employee. For me, I'm the key employee of my company.
Yep.
If any other employee, if I have to look at myself, if any other employee were running their personal life, running their health the way I am, would I intervene? Would I say something? Mm-hmm. Are they going to bring their best self to work? Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I have to kind of separate myself from Andy Janning, CEO of No Net Solutions, and look at myself as Andy Janning, key employee of Janning Enterprises for my wife and my kids.
I like that.
But then also looking at myself and saying, okay, if I were to put any other face on my performance, would I be happy with it? So I can make as many excuses as I want to. I mean, I have as many escape routes as I want. But at the end of all of it, I have to be happy. I have to bring the energy to my clients, mm-hmm. to my speaking engagements, all of those things. I owe them my best. They are paying me for my best. If I go in and phone it in, I don't deserve their money. I don't deserve their time. Mm-hmm. I don't deserve their recommendation. Mm-hmm. So they put their trust in me. If I'm not keeping this healthy, I'm not trying to win a swimsuit competition. Good Lord, those days, that ain't going to happen. I got a face for radio, man. So this body don't get any more beautiful, all right? But for me, I have to, they put their trust in me, and I owe it to them to fulfill that trust.
So what are some examples that you do that, I mean, let's look at it from a time management perspective, because I mean, a lot of people, me included, suffer from horrible time management. I work on it every day. But what do you, I mean, because fitting in, you know, a run in the morning or eating right at lunch or spending time with the kids, family at night, I mean, where do you fit all that in? Especially being an entrepreneur.
Right.
Or even if you work in a corporation. I mean, sometimes you got to work long hours, you got to travel. Right. How do you fit all this stuff in there? Because it's tough.
Well, and for me, it's flipping that question a little bit around. I think we look at time management from this deficiency standpoint. I don't have enough time, so I have to be very guarded about what I spend. If I flip it around and going, I have time to do this. I have time to be healthy, to run, to lift, to just have some, you know, some quiet time where I can pray and just study things that feed me, that help nurture my faith. I have the time to do that. Now, if I say that, okay, where am I taking that time from? How am I spending that time? I'm not recreating time management research here. I mean, you can just, you know, Google on the internet machine here and find out any number of things when it comes to time management.
Right, right.
The most successful ones, though, the ones that have really resonated with me, is that sense of abundance. I have time. Now, how am I going to waste it? How do I personally know how to waste it? And this, again, comes back to the sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
Having my wife, even my kids, my clients say, hey, here's where I know you're going to go here at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because this is when your energy gets low and you start, you know, going on Facebook, and all of a sudden it's 8 o'clock at night and all you've been doing is watching cat videos. So I've got the time. And if I'm rigorous about mapping that out, mm-hmm. and measuring that, mm-hmm. I've got it. It's just a measure of, what am I going to kill? Everybody has an altar in their life. Everybody has something that they're worshiping. Mm-hmm. We all sacrifice something on it. I have to choose. I have to sacrifice what's going to kill me, mm-hmm. in order to make me better, if that, mm-hmm. makes any sort of sense. I don't want to get all, you know, metaphysical here and kind of, you know, weird, and I don't want to start chanting and burning things. But for me, it's a reflection of my faith. It's a reflection of what, you know, what God has been talking to me about.
Mm-hmm.
So that for me is very, very important. And I have to reflect that back in what I do.
Right, right. I think it resonates because I've seen you present and we've known each other for years, and it really resonates when you're on stage presenting. You are totally present and you are really delivering. And
like you
said, if you phone it in, people will recognize that.
Yeah.
And I think if you're phoning it in with your health, you're going down a slippery slope.
I agree.
So I think if people can, this is what this show is all about. It's like, okay, finding that time to, gosh, go take a walk around the block. My gosh,
right.
There's studies that show recently that show, you know what, if you take a walk, that gets those endorphins going, that gets the creativity. And then it can steamroll from there. The next thing you know, you'll be running 5Ks, you'll be running half marathons, doing triathlete, all that type of stuff. So
right.
It all fuels itself. And so that's what we're all about. So Very
amen.
Amen, brother.
Preach it, man. Preach it.
One of the things that really struck me in your talk, besides the rest of it, was a term that you called 30-year goggles. And mm-hmm. I just love this term and everything that's behind it. Can you kind of expand on it? And then how can it change your career outlook?
I can. It's actually, I have to give proper attribution. It's not my term. I was not smart enough to come up with this. I have two very dear friends in my life. They're a husband and wife photography team, professional photographers that live about 20 minutes away. Their website is Bobby, B-O-B-B-I, mm-hmm. and Mike.com. I got to know them a couple years ago when they did the headshots for my website. And what grew out of that was I have a passion for photography anyway. And you know, at the time, I was just kind of getting into it, and I was looking for a way to get better at it. Well, fast forward to last year for Father's Day. My wife, unbeknownst to me, contacts Bobby and Mike and asks them, hey, can Andy just spend some time, just maybe spend like a half a day and just talk photography? You guys can, you know, maybe just, you know, give them some tips and some pointers. From there has grown just a really just amazing mentorship, but also a really, really wonderful friendship with both of them. They're some of the two of the best people in the world. Now, this gets me to 30-year goggles.
Okay.
They, if you look at their blog, if you look at their work, they are considered to be, and rightfully so, some of the best people in the world at wedding photography, portrait photography, event photography. Their work is absolute art.
Mm-hmm.
At the ending part of last year in 2013, Bobby wrote a blog post that talks that introduced this concept of 30-year goggles. She was doing a family photo shoot around Christmas. And she mentions about the fact that she's shooting people when she's looking at the images that she shoots. She's looking at them not as the way they are, not in terms of professional photography, technical perfection. She's looking at these images in terms of 30-year goggles, looking at how are the people in the photos going to see these images 30 years down the road. So when she looks at them and when she sees how are these kids that they're capturing right now, what are they going to look back on in 30 years and remember?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that help move her feet, move her eye, move her gear, move her heart to look at the right things, focus literally and figuratively on the right stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this concept, I mean, really, really transformed how I do things. Because I guarantee you, my kids have got 30-year goggles on, my wife's got 30-year goggles on, your wife has 30-year goggles on, the internet has 30-year goggles on. What we put out there now is going to resonate all through all of history. The movie The Social Network has a brilliant line in there. The internet isn't written in pencil, it's written in ink. And what we do resonates. So we have to look at what kind of a legacy are we leaving? What kind of a legacy am I putting out into the world right now? Which really informs a lot of my photography work, a lot of my speaking work right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about how do I leave something behind for the next generation? How do I live a good example? And you can't, you know, throw a bag of M&Ms that you're not supposed to be eating because we're trying to be well, but you can't throw a bag full of M&Ms and not hit 15,000 people that are saying the same thing.
Right.
All I'm trying to do is add my note to this incredible symphony and to put in there, if I can just borrow that 30-year goggle concept, it's not a new one, but the way that they do it, I love the way they encapsulate it, and I want to be able to honor that idea. So if I can do that in my work, I'm going to do it.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. Very cool stuff, Andy. To wrap up here, any advice for folks out there? Because you've been in the corporate world. You're an entrepreneur today. What advice do you have for people to stay healthy and further their careers? What's the closing statement from Mr. Janin?
Get a mentor.
Okay.
If you ever look at, you know, any hero that you have, anybody that you admire ever in your life, they always have someone they've asked to speak into their life, to speak into their world. That's the stories that we tell, you know, that's every single movie you've ever seen ever in your life. Mm-hmm. The hero figure always has a trainer figure.
Yep.
That trainer figure also was somebody that's under mentorship. So we all need one. And, you know, you can appify it to an extent, like running. I can have, you know, the Nike app and I can run and I can see how I'm doing with different, you know, different little headshots and icons there on my home screen.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing beats that other person that I can view, I can talk to, I can actually physically interact with. And they're saying, okay, how can I break you down? How can I break your heart to make you better? Those are the people that I think for me, it's taken me a long time to realize that I need that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially somebody that teaches people for a living, that speaks for a living. it's very easy for me to say, oh, I don't need that. I teach people. What possible use do I have with someone like that? And once I finally pulled my head out of my armpit and realized that I have no business being asked to be a mentor or an expert to someone else if I'm not under mentorship, that's fulfilling that trust. Because if I don't have a mentor, if I don't have someone holding me accountable, then I become a villain. Every single movie villain you've ever seen, they don't have mentors. Mm-hmm. They have henchmen. They see the world as something that needs to serve them. Heroes see the world as something that they're there to serve, and they need someone to help them do it.
Yep.
Everybody makes that decision. We make that decision every day, and I hope by the grace of God, I can make the right decision and have a good example for the people that I love.
Very nice. Great message to end on, Andy. So, oh man, home run as usual.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you so much. God bless you, sir. And just thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk to us. I love talking to this. Anybody out there who wants a great presenter, a great speaker at their event, whatever, this is the man. He will make you laugh. He'll make you cry. And he will motivate you to do great things. So fantastic stuff as usual, Andy. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.